B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Radio. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is going to be absolute madness around.
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. You're listening to me, James Campbell, as well as Weird Beard, and the in-game leader, I assume, of the Checkpoint XP Apex Legends Tournament Champion Team, Mr. Robbie Landis.
Now look, this is usually the point where I would take all of the credit,
yeah.
But I have to admit, actually, and we'll talk about it a little bit more here coming up in this segment, it was actually pretty even, I think, between me, Weird Beard, and Bill. Nobody carried anything like that.
Wow.
We all put in, you know, the same amount of effort, the same amount of success, and call-outs and stuff. So
who had the most kills? I want to know that.
Honestly, it was probably pretty even because most matches we each had like one or two.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Pretty even. You agree with that, Weird Beard?
We're not calling anybody out. It's not about It's not about how the cake was made.
It seems like there's a bit of a gentleman's agreement. Everybody's equal. We're all equal partners.
I can go and find out if you want.
No, it's okay. Well, congratulations to you guys and your big tournament win. I'm happy to hear that I'm sitting here in a room with a bunch of legitimate Apex legends.
Apex Predator is the correct term.
Well, thank you for the correction. The release of both Sony and Microsoft's next-gen consoles are just around the corner, which means the next generation of consoles, obviously, is upon us. But before we jump into all the new, exciting games and features to look forward to, we wanted to take a moment to discuss which games really defined the current generation. We also want to hear from you on this topic as well. Give us a call at 1-833-557-0974 and let us know which games you think helped define the generation and why. We'll get to your calls a bit later in the show, because right now, Robbie, I think you have some highlights about what you think the generation was.
Yeah, so this article actually came to us courtesy of Eurogamer.net. Obviously, it's something that I think is on everyone's mind as we transition from the PS4 and the Xbox One into the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S generation. So I thought we'd go over the list and kind of give our own thoughts on how we think these games helped to define this generation. And at number 10, they have The Witcher 3. Wild Hunt.
I mean, it was big. You want to know why? I actually have never played The Witcher 3 because I didn't have a gaming PC. I just had my MacBook laptop.
Womp womp.
You have a
console?
No. Aww. And I bought it on Steam, and I was like super like, I think I can do this. Let me buy it. So I bought it, and my laptop couldn't run it.
Oh,
so
that's too bad. I actually haven't played it, but that's only because The Witcher 1 and Witcher 2 were a little bit rough when it came to games. They didn't age very well, right?
Okay.
And for me, I feel like, especially in this case, when games, you know, have like a clear lineage, I have to play them. I don't care if you can jump into The Witcher 3 and, like, you know, it's a good jumping in point. I just have like an OCD.
You gotta know what's
like,
going on.
I gotta
in the first
play
two.
1, 2, and 3. So that's the only reason I haven't. But I mean, I think it deserves a place on this list. I think that there's very few people who haven't played it, and if you haven't, you've heard of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard of it, and I mean, Netflix turned it into a series.
Boom.
So
exactly.
That right there.
And it's actually good.
And it's actually good. There we go.
Yep. At number 9, this is a game I haven't heard of, but I know that Weird Beard plays bad games, so he might. Threes? It's a puzzle game, apparently.
It's a bad game you've been playing, Weird Beard?
Probably. Let me... Threes?
All right, for me, it looks like it incorporates math.
Jason Schreier, who worked at Kotaku for a while, as I believe it was their editor, he says, puzzle perfection. I probably spent more time playing Threes than any other game in my life.
Oh, I've played a ton of this, but I've played it on my iPhone. So it's the one where you have the boxes and you can... So it's like, if you add the one and a one together, it makes a two
box. Do you
box.
Think that this is generation defining? I've never even heard of it.
It's like it would be. It's like Sudoku for.
I don't care what it's like. Is it generation defining?
Probably not.
Kind of. Yeah, no. I feel like I disagree with this one
too. At number 8, we have Nier Automata.
Nier is great. But it was so good.
It was. It was. But generation defining?
I would say as far as RPG stuff, yes.
I don't know. I think this is still pretty niche, especially with the amount of inspiration it draws from, like, anime-type stuff.
What would you say that this game brings to this generation, Weird Beard?
I would say that it's, like, before fantasy games used to just kind of be so, like, spells.
If you blow yourself up, your main character is, like, a hot chick who has, like, a skirt on. If you blow her up, she doesn't have a skirt anymore, and you can see her thong.
Ooh, wow.
Yes.
Well, I just, generation defining.
I just sold James on it.
Yeah. Well, my new favorite game.
All right. At number seven, Slay the Spire. This is so good. Not a trading card game. It's a deck building game.
Correct. It's a roguelike deck builder. Now, it's akin to like Monster Train.
I know that this is very, very popular. Yes. I don't know that it's helped to define the generation as a whole, but I know that it has gone very far, at least in the card battling game
genre. But I would say that it's taken deck building games because you now have a whole subgenre of games that have essentially spiraled off of that.
Would this be like a game like Hearthstone?
Kind of, a little bit.
A little, yeah.
Whereas in Hearthstone, though, you actually collect and then build your deck.
Yes.
You build your deck through gameplay.
Correct.
In Slay the Spire.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
At number six, we have Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. This probably deserves to be in there.
Any Uncharted game, I think. It's the movie series of video games.
Yeah, pretty much. Titanfall 2. I never played a lot of the Titanfalls, but I know that they have a very rabid fan following.
I love the Titanfall games.
Why do you not love Apex Legends then?
Because it's the ammo is what throws me off, trying to figure out which guns and which ammo I need.
It's all color coordinated. We're going to, you know what? We're going to bring him in on a stream one of the days. We're going to teach him. We're going to get you good at Apex.
Easy.
Well, I don't know about good, but we're going to teach you.
How dare you.
At number four, Kentucky Route Zero.
Pass.
So what's this game all about?
It's like, this is the one, the KFC game.
Come on. This is for real? A KFC
all right,
game?
All right. Chris Plant said that releasing episodes across this decade, Kentucky Route Zero presented a prescient critique of the United States in decline. This is a very indie game.
I'm saying this sounds like an artsy fartsy, like
is.
Hipster
it is.
Game.
I don't know that we can say that this just helped to define anything in the generation. Number three, we have The Outer Wilds. This is one that I kind of skipped. This kind of went under my radar.
It would
here.
Be right up your alley.
Probably. I played a little bit, like a demo of it at, I think it was PAX East. All right, this one I definitely agree with. Bloodborne. There is not a term that I think has sort of weaseled its way into our vocabulary more than Souls-esque.
Yep.
When talking about how hard games are being made now. I think any of, whether it was Bloodborne, Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, whatever, I think any of those you could have put in for this. But two seems a little high, but I think it should definitely be in there. And this final one, Legend of Zelda, The Breath of the Wild. Now, the only reason I feel weird having this on here is this was technically a Wii U game.
No, I think it got
ported to the Wii U. It was launched on the Switch. Absolutely. I will fight you to the death over this one. Don't you dare besmirch.
I've played a lot of Legend of the Zeldas. I've liked a lot of them. I played about 30 minutes of Breath of the Wild.
Really?
I was not into it.
No? What put you off so much?
It was mostly the inventory management and the idea that, like, weapons could break. Like, even the Master Sword, if it broke,
the Master Sword?
You had to go and, like, get it fixed. Yeah, it was too much emphasis on the idea of inventory management. Was not a fan.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But, that's the majority of their list here. Just a few of their, like, their honorable mentions. Apex Legends, Celeste, Clash Royale, Destiny, Fortnite, that actually deserved a place, I think.
Fortnite's been so huge on this generation of consoles. It would blow my mind that it's not on a list.
Yep. God of War is on there as well. No Man's Sky, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Pokemon Go. A few of these probably should have made it up into the main article. But there you go. And a little bit later in the show, you'll get our answers as well as some of your answers.
That's true. And so there you have it. There's a list of some of the games that helped define this generation of consoles. But keep in mind, we want to talk to you about what you think deserves to be on this list. Give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. Let us know which games you think helped define this generation and why. We'll get your calls in just a little bit. But now it's time for this.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows, who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
All right, we're going to start things off with the Nailed It this week. And this week, the Nailed It goes out to the Apex Legend Checkpoint XP team right here in the room. It's going out to our very own Robbie Landis and Weird Beater for taking first place in an Apex Legends tournament.
Now, I would just like to point out, too, that it was actually a close one. I think we were always in the top three, but going into round four out of five rounds, we were tied. We were tied with, what were they called?
Buff neck daddies.
Buff neck daddies.
We were tied with buff neck daddies. And here's the thing. They had been getting more kills than us, but we had been placing a little bit high. Well, actually, no, because they had a few first place and second places, too.
Yes.
So we were a little nervous going into that last round because we knew that they were probably going to get more kills than us.
Yeah.
And if they also got first place in their round and we got first place in our round, they'd have beat us because they had more kills. So we were hoping beyond hope that, A, we would get the win, which we did. I got the final kill. And then just hoping like that they wouldn't. And when they posted their screenshot, they had more kills than us. They had second place. So we're like,
it was a nail biter.
It was a nail biter. Ooh. Because placement gave you more points than your kill ranking did.
Okay.
Right? So we're like, oh, let's just hope. And I think we might have been the bottom for kill ranking because all the other teams, no matter where they placed, had more kills than us.
Long story short, you can't mess with us. We had one guy, the other guy on our team got a babysitter and he had migraines the entire time.
He did. That's right. Bill had a migraine through the whole thing. And we didn't say until at the end. He's like, man, I've been dealing with a migraine this whole time.
Woo. Like it felt good. Like you don't know the rush of like, just we placed top two in every single match and we sat there and we'd post it and we'd be like, all right, I don't know how this is going to go. And then all of a sudden we'd see people coming in at like 11th. Or nine.
There was a seventh place. I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah, we were like, ooh, yeah, nice. You suck. There was one now,
Buff Neck Daddy. I think they had like 9 kills between like their whole squad.
And there's no bots or anything in Apex, right? No. It's all real people.
It was supposed to be a private lobby where we would have been playing against the other teams, but because they couldn't get one, instead what it was is everyone just queued up at the same time in a public lobby.
Okay, yeah.
Posted what your winning screen was, and based on your kills and your placement, they would determine what the points were. There are a lot of sore losers. They're like, I don't get how this point system is working.
Yeah, sorry. Get good, scrubs.
Oh, no, it's weird. Beers got the pull quote of the show. You can't mess with us.
You can't. You know what, James? I'm scared now.
I don't want to mess with you guys in the Apex. Coming up each week, it seems there's more and more streamer drama surfacing online. We'll talk about what massively popular streamer Ninja was complaining about having to spend money on because of his streams in a bit. Because ahead next, Microsoft makes a huge announcement. Dude, they spent $7.5 billion. Who did Microsoft just buy, and how could this affect the gaming world? We'll talk about that when Checkpoint XP returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.